What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Girl With Purpose podcast. And today we got our special guest, Ty, here with us. And we're here to learn from Ty about his journey to becoming a business owner and running his own outstanding coaching program. Ty, would you like to introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Braden. I really appreciate it. So my name is Ty. I am a communication skills coach. I'm a number one best-selling author. And I'm the founder of Advanced Growth Institute, which is the coaching business that helps professionals from all around the world communicate with more confidence, more clarity, so they can not only make more money and advance their careers, but just also become better leaders, more influential, and just have a more positive impact on the world. So it's really a pleasure to be here, Braden. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and it's great for you to come on here, spread this positive energy, and really just give good affirmation to the people and give positive energy back out to the world. So we appreciate you even taking time out of your day to come on here. And tell us, you know, from your beginning, like, where'd you start? How'd you get to the point where you were able to create your own business? Like, tell us your journey from the beginning.
Yeah, happy to. So I actually never really had any types of dreams of becoming a business owner. I actually didn't really have any dreams at all. Growing up, I was never the kid that was like, I want to grow up and do this. I want to be a famous astronaut or a basketball player or a millionaire. I actually was just kind of a shy, quiet, awkward kid that was just really trying to get by, trying to make it through each day. And so I'm a communication skills coach now. I actually started on the opposite end of communication skills. Naturally, probably like a solid 0 out of 10, if we're talking about God-given skills. So you can actually kind of get through life okay as a kid, you know, being shy, being a little bit awkward. It's school, right? You're writing tests.
Yeah.
You're doing papers. Yeah. So you can kind of get through life being that way. But it was actually when I entered the professional world that I really, really struggled. Man, I was an absolute mess. Just a disaster because I could not speak to people. I was not confident. I was really anxious, really nervous all the time. So the problem was I actually couldn't get any job out of school except for selling life insurance.
Really?
So I was actually afraid, Braden, at this point to ask people about their weekends, how their dog was, simple stuff like that. Now I actually have to ask people about what's going to happen if you die early? What's your family going to do? Really intense stuff. Death, disease, disability.
That's just like all really that scarcity when you were younger out of you, I bet.
Yeah, exactly. So really difficult things to talk about for even an elite communicator naturally. So what really inspired my obsession with communication was getting to a really dark, low point where I'm just really failing miserably at my job, making no money, struggling, anxious, trouble sleeping, very, very challenging times just interacting with people. And I wasn't even trying to be successful at this point. It got to the stage of my life where I just didn't want to hate going to work so much. So I became just obsessed with learning how to deal with people, how to interact with them, how to calm my nerves, how to have more success with them. And there were no coaches at this point. Like, this was a solid decade ago. So there weren't really coaches then, right?
Right.
It was like for sports, that's what a coach was.
Yeah.
So I really had to figure everything out on my own, just reading a lot of books, practicing, experimenting, articles, courses, whatever I could kind of get my hands on. And that's just a really slow way of learning things with no feedback, no help. But, you know, you do that for any period of, if you do anything for long enough, you're eventually going to get better, better, better if you just keep sticking with it.
Right. And why do you think, you know, people do struggle communicating out of high school? Why do you think most kids struggle with that? Because sales is one of the most lucrative jobs. And obviously a big part of sales is actually being able to communicate. So why do you think a lot of people actually struggle with communication?
I truly think a big part of it is just that if you're not naturally gifted, we are not taught how to do this. We are not taught in school or by our parents or by our whoever. Most people are just straight up not taught. Even a lot of the simple things that I teach, let's say something easy like body language, just the power of your posture in terms of how much people will respect you. That's an easy thing. It's not really complicated and layered. It's fix your posture, put your shoulders down and back, people will automatically respect you more.
Right.
But just simple things like that, nobody teaches you. So I think that's what it is. If you're lucky and you're naturally gifted, great. But most of us aren't. And then we actually just have no idea what to do. There's no awareness to. We don't think about it. We're just like, that's the way we are. I am an introvert. I am not good with people. Therefore, that's the way it is. So I think that's what it is. Lack of awareness, and we're just not taught.
Do you think a big part of labeling has a lot to do with a lot of people being introverts, quote unquote, or just saying that they have an excuse for life? Do you think labeling is a big part of that?
I think it's a part of it. It's a really good question. I think it's a part of it. I don't think it causes the lack of skills. I don't think it causes people to struggle, but I think it prevents them from improving. So you can say you're an introvert. Great. I classically am an introvert and still am to this day, but I've just found ways to work through it and work around it. Like, I still wouldn't get more energy spending a whole day surrounded by people. Like, technically speaking, I'm still an introvert, but if I had let that hold me back, I'd probably still be struggling. If it's an excuse not to try, or maybe, sure, it's a little bit harder, but if you're using that to hold you back, I think it really can prevent a person from making those improvements.
And what are the benefits of learning communication? I mean, obviously a long list of, you know, developing better friendships, girlfriends, all that. But when it comes to jobs and actually being able to create financial abundance, what kind of benefits come with communications?
Really good question. So I had shared my story there about how, you know, I struggled a lot early in my career. I eventually figured out these skills, so much so that I end up teaching it now. But I actually mainly help people. My target audience is people that are, they've already had some success in their careers. So they're, you know, not in an entry-level job. They're making decent money at this point. You know, they've moved up a bit, but now they're kind of stuck. So I mainly help people primarily now that they feel like they're kind of being held back. They're not reaching their potential. So if we're talking about careers and your job, communication is really the key to advancing your career, reaching your potential, getting the respect, the opportunities, the money that you deserve. If you don't improve these things, you're just going to get to the point that a lot of my clients are at and then stay there, which is you're just kind of stuck at one point. You can only get so far if you don't have good communication skills.
100%. And what do you think is some good discipline things that you can do when it comes to communication? Because I don't really have a solid idea of, like, what is some things I could practice to become a better communicator?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's easy first things that you could start with. You could simply start by just trying to speak a little bit more concise, a little bit more clear. So what does that mean? Basically, try to say less. Try to not talk so fast. Even like those two things mainly are the things people struggle with most that are very obvious. Some of these things are nuanced. You might need like a professional or to record yourself to figure out. But two of the easy things: most people talk too fast because they're excited. They have all these things to say, and then they sound kind of nervous, and then they're kind of tough to understand. So a lot of people just slow down. Don't think that you need to say 10 different things to explain one point. So even just trying to say less and speak a bit slower, that's an easy thing just to kind of start pushing yourself to do. And then another easy one is to simply work on your listening skills. That's a skill that very few people have, and it's kind of the key to making people like you, developing good relationships personally and professionally. Because if anyone's listening and maybe they consider themselves an introvert or they're not very good with people, it's actually really easy to just let the other person talk. Listen, ask questions, ask a follow-up question. The other person will enjoy that conversation so much more people don't really care about a stranger they just met or whoever. Like, they mainly care about themselves more on a fundamental level. So if you just work on listening, saying less, asking more questions, being interested, that's another easy thing you can do. And people will like you. They'll say, I really enjoyed this conversation, because you let them talk most of the time.
Right. And it's about having that curiosity towards a person. Like, you're not going to enjoy a person if you're just talking about yourself and the whole everything about your, like, they're just going to be like, why am I even talking to you? They have no relatability, or they just don't feel like they got any expression. So it's always best to have that curiosity. And that's how you learn about individuals, from being around them and being able to actually identify, oh, what's their characteristic traits?
It's a really good point. That will also help you get further in life, because you're going to learn so much more. You're going to pick up on things. Brayden, you've basically taken this to the next level, where you're basically like a professional listener and question asker at this point.
Yeah.
And so just think of the amount of knowledge that you've taken in doing what you're doing now, this podcast, mm-hmm. right? People can do that in real life. We're doing this now. We're recording it. We're on video, but it's really the same thing. In real life, you can have the same types of conversations, listen and learn, and you'll be surprised where that might take you.
Yeah, and how do you become a better listener? Because I feel like one big part about being a better listener is actually being able to be open-minded. So how do you open up your mind to new possibilities, new ideas, new ways of doing things?
Definitely. In conversations, a lot of times people think that they need to say something smart. They want to look cool. They want to sound cool. They want to come across a certain way. So if you actually just put all of your focus on the other person, and like you said, keeping an open mind is really important, where you're just going in with the sole intention of learning about them, being curious, like you said as well. If you go in with that intention, the intention is actually a really important part. You can be more open-minded, be curious, learn more, simply by going in with the intention to do so. If I said, Brayden, I'm going to tell you three things, and if you can remember these three things that I'm about to tell you, I will give you $1 million afterwards. You'd be listening with so much intention.
Yep.
You'd probably be able to remember those three things, because you'd be trying really, really hard. Mm-hmm. Versus if there's nothing on the line. Most people don't even think about it. They're just on autopilot, going through life, going through the day, no intention, half listening. So even just having a bit of intention, you know, you're about to go to an event, you're about to walk up and talk to somebody, you're about to do anything. If you just set an intention before and say, I'm going to be listening, I'm going to be curious, I'm going to keep an open mind, that actually goes so much further than people might think.
And I really like what you mentioned about intention, because I feel like that goes hand in hand with everything in life. And actually, even the podcast name, Grow With Purpose, because to have purpose, you need to have intention. So how do you find that, I guess, purpose, that intention to drive you further and make sure that you push and achieve all your goals? Because a lot of kids, I can at least speak, getting out of college, they don't know the direction they want to go in life. So how do you find that?
It's an interesting question, because for me, it took a bit of time. It took a bit of time. It really took some experimentation. It took actually a lot of what you said, which was being open-minded and not being too tied to one particular thing. And so I would say, especially if somebody's just coming out of university or college, just finishing, even high school, whatever it might be, just be really open-minded, be really curious, going back to our same themes. Just try different things. Try this job. Take this course. For me, investing in education, and not university. I went to university, but I actually believe investing in something that you're interested in, just like could be an online course, could be a book, could be coaching, but just some version of that where you're like really focusing and being held accountable to learn and implement something. That can really show you, I believe, pretty quickly, okay, I like this, I want to keep going with this. I don't like this, I want to keep going with this. So maybe it's something on marketing. Maybe it is in communication. Maybe it's in coding. Maybe it's in fitness. Like, just putting enough focus into one thing so that you're giving yourself a chance to find out, do I like this? Do I want to continue with this? And then just if you do that enough times and don't have any expectations, you'll eventually get things clicking. And then the path will almost unfold for you piece by piece.
Okay. So what do you think about people that put their intention in something, you know, they find their purpose, they, all right, this is going to be my number one goal, but then come through tough times about it? Like, should they give up if they don't enjoy the tough times, or should they, you know, keep on pushing and make sure that even though the tough times aren't good, they're going to lead to better times?
For me, what's worked really well is tying it to my identity. So it's not really about anymore, is this easy, is this hard, is this good or this bad? It's my identity that I am building this coaching business, I have these things to do, and I get them done no matter what. So I've formed my identity around being a person that gets shit done for this business, for me, because that's just who I am.
Yes.
So if you think of it like that, you almost develop an inner sense of duty. You're like, it's my duty to do this because I am this person. So that's what I would suggest. And it's not necessarily easy to do. But if you approach it with that frame of mind, and especially I can speak perhaps a little bit more to if any males are watching this, if you can tie it, this has worked well for me, to almost like a masculine sense of duty. I'm not a woman, so I can't speak to a female sense of duty.
Yeah.
But for me, being like, it's my duty as a man who has chosen this to get these things done, that's actually worked really well to help me push through tough times. So that's what I would recommend, just to experiment with for anyone listening.
Okay. And like, what is your opinions on God? I know it's a broad question, but I get a lot of entrepreneurs that come on here, and it's such a common theme with people that start up their own business to actually have like some alignment with God when it comes to prayer, meditation, manifestation, any of that. So I'm curious to see, what practices do you do? What is God like in your life?
Yeah, I really like this question, because there does seem to be a connection between people who are pushing towards higher things, different things, and especially a lot of the business owners that I know too, usually have, even if it's different religions, some sort of connection to God. So it's an interesting question. For me, I've really found that my connection to, whether you say God or higher power or spirit or your soul, whatever word you choose to label it as, has definitely increased since I've become more serious about my business. And I'm not sure if that's connected in any way, but I have a short practice every morning where I'll usually do a bit of gratitude journaling, a bit of prayer, and I wrote out what I call a list of tenets, which are basically like beliefs, guiding principles for myself. And so I'll read those too. So that's almost like a form of prayer. It's one of those is, you know, I have a duty to show up every day, get these things done. Part of that is thanking God, thanking the higher spirits for my life, asking them to guide me and that type of stuff. So I think there's a power to that. And it's not even about what's real, what's right, what's wrong, what doesn't exist or what does. If you believe in something and it helps you, that makes it real for you. So anyone listening, find whatever God or higher power appeals to you. And it's comforting to think that there is something greater than us helping us along this journey.
And that same kind of belief kind of ties into, you know, when you're doing something new, because when you're doing something new, you have no results to speak for it. You don't have nothing to really look at. The same thing with God. Technically, you can't see God. You can't perceive that he's real, but that belief enough makes it into something real. If you didn't believe in yourself to start up that your own business, how else would the business ever got created? It wouldn't. So you need that self-belief to even be able to create something inside of our reality. Do you not agree?
100%. I think it's really, really helpful. I think believing that you're entirely alone in doing this, and I understand, you know, you might have people around you supporting you, that sort of thing, but to think that you're alone in that regard in terms of a higher power, I believe just would make it more challenging. I don't know if it's necessary. I'm sure other... I would not that I know any personally, but I would guarantee there's many, many successful atheists that have, you know, existed throughout our time. I'm sure there's many now that I'm sure there's millionaire atheists that we could find. Yeah. But I do agree with you that there seems to be a correlation between a lot of the highly successful people that I know and having some type of belief in a higher power.
Mm-hmm. It's super strange. I don't really understand why. Maybe it's the dedication, like the work that you put in. That's just almost a form of meditation. But even with athletes, you see it a lot of time. Them, you know, putting in a ton of work, they're always super connected with God. So it is super powerful to see people that are pushing towards a purpose inevitably get connected to a higher power. But I want to ask you, like, talk about your adolescent years. You know, who were you as a child? How did you really become into the man that you became today?
Yeah, the adolescent years were not very enjoyable because of just the skills that I had as a person at that time. The communication skills weren't very good, but I was also a pretty small kid. I wasn't very confident. I looked very, very young for my age too. And so did pretty good in school. You know, I played the piano. I played a couple sports. I wasn't like the complete nerd staying at home, no friends, but definitely was not in a situation where I'd say I enjoyed my life probably up until I was like 18. Mm. I lived in actually a very small town. I grew up in a very small town on a farm near a town of 800 people. I now live in Toronto, which is pretty much the opposite of that.
Yeah, I was
going to
say.
And so, very small graduating class. Like, there's 15 people in my class until I graduated high school. So that, in and of itself, is a bit of a different ballgame, because if you don't have a connection with any of the other 14 people, you don't really have people around that you can relate to, call your good friends. And so, I genuinely don't believe I had a real friend until I like went to university out of high school, and then was introduced to like a whole new group of people, moved out of the house, just generally had more freedom, tried some different things and met different people. So yeah, the childhood and the adolescence was overall, pretty challenging, pretty confusing. And makes me even more appreciative of the type of life that I've built now, definitely.
But I'm sure from those challenges, you gained a lot of experience and a lot of things that you probably couldn't even trade for with the knowledge that you gained from it. So what are some of the positive traits you gained from some of those challenges that you had to overcome in those younger years?
Yeah, it definitely gave me a good perspective on life and connections and relationships overall. And I believe probably the biggest value was just realizing the importance of having close friends, having intimate relationships, having those types of like deeper connections with people, because it's almost like there's a saying about the seasons of weather, right? It's like you don't know, there's no summer without winter, there's no hot without cold.
Right.
And so if life was always amazing and I was always popular and muscular and confident and had all these friends and all these amazing things going on, I don't think I would have truly seen the value that I do now in having those things. And so I think it taught me to be resilient, and it taught me to just keep pushing, even when there seems to be no end in sight, because it's tough to see a light at the end of the tunnel when you're a kid, when you're a teenager, and you've never really felt like you've belonged anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So, I would say it probably taught a level of determination and grit that I may not have had otherwise.
And how does that determination and grit carry over into the business realm of like what you do?
I think it's absolutely 100% essential. I think it is completely and utterly necessary in especially the online business world, where you have to be doing so many things. And what I mean by that is you got to be on social media. You got to basically post every day. You got to reach out to people. You got to prospect. You got to set up all these different types of things to get prospects in, your funnels, your free online courses, your whether you got a book, whether you got this, whether you got that. You always have to be creating different things, resources. And then, especially now, right, I have clients that I have to service, but whilst still doing all of these other elements, but then you're always trying to grow. So now you got to bring in team members to help. Now you got to train the team members while still doing all the things you had to do before. So it's really just adding layer on layer on layer constantly. And if you didn't have grit, if you didn't have determination, and if you didn't tie it to your identity, like I talked about earlier, yeah, I can see why there's some stat and it's like 5% of businesses actually make it past the first couple of years. I don't know if that's the exact number. It's like a really small amount. And so I can see why if you didn't have a lot of these traits and these values in place.
Mm. And how could somebody that didn't really have that trauma-induced life or just had a very picket fence, easy-going life, how can they self-endure those challenges to overcome and prepare them for the business world?
They would almost have to put themselves in uncomfortable situations. They'd almost have to force the discomfort. And so, for example, let's say, yeah, that person grew up and maybe their parents had a lot of money. They always got everything they wanted, genetically gifted, all these different types of things. Maybe they now move to a tiny apartment with three other people and they don't take any of their parents' money that they've always had access to or something, or they give themselves a very small amount to work with, put themselves in a tough environment where it's basically like you have to figure things out or you're just going to be ultimately miserable staying there. So you almost have to cultivate a certain level of difficulty to be able to make some of those changes. I mean, there are people that have always been successful, their families are successful, and they just keep that going and everything's smooth. But I think that comes with its own set of challenges where, you know, a couple of people I know that are like that, and there's like an element of deep down they don't feel like they deserve it, or there's a level of entitlement that even if they are successful, they're just like, well, yeah, I deserve this anyways. And then if they don't get it, then they're furious. So I don't know if it's necessarily better, but that's the first thing that comes to mind if it was somebody in that case.
Mm-hmm. And why did college not specifically work out for you? What was the realization that was like, all right, I need to get out of this. I got to go start up my own thing. I can't just be falling into the same trap that everyone else is falling into.
Yeah, I actually did finish college, but I didn't really take it seriously at all. I think like a lot of students do. I mean, graduating high school at 18, I personally, and I think a lot of people can relate, just you have no idea really what you want to do. So if you don't know, going to university or going to college is not the best choice because it's basically just like a really expensive 4 years of partying. It's a really expensive like way to party. Like you're spending the money on the partying, but then you're also spending all this money on tuition.
Right.
And so I technically have a business degree, which to be fair, got me in the door of a couple jobs out of university, but not like good jobs. Like it helped me get that life insurance job that I didn't like. So yeah, I mean, unless you want to go and be a pharmacist or a dentist or a doctor or something like that, especially in today's world.
Right.
Yeah, I would say hold off on that. And man, there's so many online courses, there's coaching, there's so many things you can learn without it that I personally would recommend going that route first. I made the most gains in my business from investing in mastermind programs, business coaches, like things like that, quite separately, because it was very specific to what I was doing. So that type of education for me has increased my income so much more than going to school ever did.
Incredible, incredible. Well, it was a great podcast, Ty. Is there any like last words you want to say? Anything you want to shout out? Your social medias? Like, go ahead, shout out to the Grow with Purpose people.
Yeah, definitely. Really appreciate you having me on, Braden. Really enjoyed a lot of these questions. You asked me a couple questions that I had not been asked in a really long time. The spiritual one, I don't believe I've actually ever been asked on a podcast. So I appreciate you for encouraging me to think a bit deeper on some of those topics. Social media, I am Ty Hosgen on all the major platforms. So it's TYHOESGEN. And I'll give away a free resource to everyone listening to you. That's always a nice thing to do. So I have a free course that I give out. It's how to be instantly likable to fast track your success. That's in the link in the bio of all my social media accounts as well. So highly recommend you get that. Lot of good reviews from that. It's totally free. I used to sell it for $100, then I just decided to give it away as a lead magnet. So feel free to learn how to become instantly likable.
Awesome, man. Tyler, I appreciate you coming on the Grow with Purpose podcast. We'll be sure to send that link over to me. We'll get all the links in the description on the YouTube video and on the Facebook. And we'll see you guys next time on Grow with Purpose. Peace.